But we're going to go to 1 Corinthians chapter 3, pick up where we were at the other day. Because we're talking about a builder. And the builder basically is all of us, really, to be honest. Because we're all building on it, right? Of course, you have some main people. I understand that. The pastor being one, missionary. You've got the deacons. You got the Sunday school teachers. You got VBS teachers, people that volunteer for that. We're building, and we're building on that foundation that was laid, which is Jesus Christ. Amen? And we were discussing, if I remember correctly, a builder of God's temple, and because we are God's temple. And it discussed a wise... What in the world did it do now? Oh, there we go. So we discussed a wise builder. That's one that isn't using shabby stuff, isn't using cheap stuff, isn't using things. In other words, they're using the Word of God to build upon, and that's going to last. You go outside of that, and it'll be problems, which we'll talk about here in a minute. So... really, we're building on God's Word, and that's what we need to stick to. And a wise builder, wise teachers, wise deacons, pastors, when missionaries go to the field and they build, when we're in here, VBS, it's just not all about having fun. We are building upon that because, listen, we got children that get saved. And that's what it's all about. Now, people will say, well... yeah, but VBS, chances of their parents coming to church slim to none. I'll agree with that. I do know some children that were saved at a VBS in New Mexico, and then their mom and dad eventually came to church. They got saved. One of them that's saved is a pastor now up in, I don't know if he's in Idaho or Montana anymore, but he's one of them somewhere in that area. So it's not a waste of time, and it was building. That's going to come back later in years, and that's a wise builder that does that. Then we have the worldly builder, and worldly builders is the last part of that in 15, where wood, hay, and stubble. And really a worldly builder is more worried about... this than anything else. He's worried about pleasing the people. A wise builder, well, we won't get into that right now. But a worldly builder will appease the people. I had a couple of folk one time, they wanted me to come to their church and be their pastor. And so we were talking about it, praying about it. And I wasn't feeling it really. But I said, yeah, come talk. They came and talked, and everything went pretty good until the last part of it, of our meeting. Now, preacher, we are wanting to call you as our pastor. I said, okay. But now, one thing we need to get straight. At this church, and I won't say the name, but at this church, we don't preach on money. Don't ever preach on money. Well, when he said that, there's about 38 red flags went up. Listen, I'm not a big preacher on money, never have been. I figured the Lord will take care of it. I do like to add in there every now and then when you get up for the offering. There's a reason behind that. It's easier to get to you all. But... when we start appealing to the people, when the people start telling you, this is what you ought to preach, this is what you shouldn't preach, there's a problem. And so that's worldly building. Now, for this next one, This is a destroyer. Look at verse 17 of 1 Corinthians 3. If any man defile the... Now, that word defile, you can actually put destroy in there. If you look it up in the Greek and study it, it also has that meaning, destroy. And I believe that's what Paul was talking about. Because remember, he's not talking about the individual temple of God. He's talking about all of us as the temple of God. He said, if any man defile the temple of God, him shall God destroy, for the temple of God is holy, which temple ye are. Let's bow in a word of prayer. Our most kind and gracious Lord, we come to you now, Lord, and as we are studying your word and going through your word, breaking it down, Lord, give us discernment. Help us to use it, Lord, for your honor and your glory, and Lord, to build on the foundation of Jesus Christ, your church. And we thank you in Jesus' name. Amen. So what you've got is you've got a person that comes in. I'm going to be honest with you. That person can or cannot be saved. I should say it this way. May or may not be saved. That's between them and the Lord. May have started out really good. But the problem is they had a selfishness idea behind what they were doing. Now, a destroyer does not build the church, it tears it down. A person that does that tears it down. They're not working with it, they're tearing it down. And listen, it don't take talent, it don't take intelligence to do that. You ever tore something down? It don't take a lot of thinking to do that. Doesn't take a lot of praying. You see, the wise builder is busy praying, is busy studying the Word of God, is busy trying to follow the leadership of the Lord. And a destroyer is somebody that's just coming in there and they want to appease their selfish desires. And they're going the wrong way. And it says the Lord will give them severe judgment. It's severe judgment awaiting them. I don't know. He didn't elaborate on that. The Word of God doesn't elaborate on that. That could be in this life. And if they're saved, I would say it's going to be in this life before they ever get to heaven. But they also will stand before the judgment seat of Christ if they were a destroyer of the Lord, one of the Lord's churches. And they don't have nothing to give to the Lord. There's not going to be any crown. Because see, you can lose those. You can take an individual, according to 1 John, an individual can lose their rewards that they have gained through their hard, through their work and serving the Lord. They can lose that. And because John said, be careful, don't let nobody take those away from you. Timothy talks about that. And so that may be what that's talking about. But they're not building with gold and silver. They're building on their own selfish desires. And it really causes a problem. Now, keep in mind, though, in all of this, that Paul is saying and teaching the Corinthians. Because when he started this out, he was talking about himself. He's talking about Apollos, who came there after him. I don't know who come after him and who come after him. But he's saying, when he started out, he's saying, listen, it's not about me. It's not about Apollos. It's not about Jim Smith. It's about Jesus Christ. That's who it's about. You find somebody, it's not good to follow a person as pastor. You may like that individual. That individual may be the only pastor you've ever been under. But it's not about following a pastor. It's about Jesus. And if a person gets it, then it doesn't matter what happens to that pastor. They're going to stick it out. I have watched churches, and I'm not going to mention places that I know this happened.
But there's a certain individual I know, and I'm going to be honest with you. The Lord blesses the work He does. But I have watched, and it ain't His fault, but I have watched churches fill up. But when He leaves, the churches start emptying. They're following the pastor. They are wasting their time, and they didn't learn a thing. But Paul is...
it's just because they like a person. Paul is trying to tell us not to do... We're to love and respect the pastors. We're to pray for them. Because honestly, pastors have a tremendous task when they're building the local church. We really do. I'll say that as we really do. Now, Paul says the Christian who respects... how will I put this? The Christian who is a preacher follower isn't getting it. But the Christian who respects the pastor and is learning, then one of these days when the Lord takes me home, or the Lord moves me, or I just get too old to do it, then we're to continue on with what we're doing. That's what's got to happen. Too many churches fall by the wayside because people follow the pastor. The church member that loves the Word and they obey their pastor's teaching of the Word, and really they seek to keep the local church in the best spirituality they can by helping the pastor build the church. That's the whole idea of the members. That's the whole idea of the flock. Is the pastor, as long as he's following the Lord, as long as he's doing what he's supposed to be doing, that's what the members are supposed to be doing. They're supposed to be following. They're supposed to be backing him and helping him build with gold, silver, and precious metals. One of these days at the judgment seat of Christ, there's going to be many of these churches that we think are unreal. They're huge. And they're going to fall by the wayside. Because they really weren't doing what they were supposed to be doing, to be honest. You see, 1 Corinthians 2:5, Paul warned Christians. Look at back up one chapter. He said that your faith should not stand in the wisdom of men, but in the power of God. It's not to stand in my wisdom. Now, I will admit, if I'm doing what I'm supposed to be doing, following the Lord, what He lays on my heart to preach and teach, that's what you ought to be listening to. But you still got to study the Scriptures to make sure I'm on board. I did this one time here. I was reading... And I read something off the wall that wasn't even in there. And I said, amen. And a bunch of you out here said, amen. And I'm like, you little liars. You're not paying attention. I said, pay attention. And we need to. Because I'll be honest with you. You have no idea what may happen to me at some point in my life. And I go off the deep end. We need to be paying attention to our pastors, our teachers. And if there's something that isn't kosher, then when church is over, you say, hey, pastor, I need to speak with you. Enlighten me on what you were saying, because I might have said it wrong. And I have apologized for some things I've blurted out there just in when I'm out here pitching a fit. It just came out. Sandy calls that preaching in the flesh. Every now and then you'll be preaching in the spirit, but once in a while you'll step back over to the flesh because it felt good. and so we got to be careful with that. You see, there's a lot to that. But Paul warned Christians, he said, don't trust in men, it's trusting in the wisdom of God. And if that's not where I'm getting my wisdom from, listen, we got a problem. And a lot of immature Christians, they like to as they were doing it at Corinth, they like to, well, I'm of Apollos, and I'm of Paul. And Paul said, look, I didn't baptize any of you except blah, blah, blah. He said, he was telling them, don't be boasting in me. It's about Jesus. You see, it's very important for especially new Christians that they realize their relationship to the local church and the pastor. They need to understand that in 1 Corinthians chapter 3, verse 1 through 5, they got saved because of the preaching of Paul or the preaching of Apollos, but God gave the increase. They might have planted the seed, and they may have watered it, but God's the one that gave the increase. And we have to remember that. Now, it's okay to tell a pastor, to tell a Sunday school teacher or VB, oh, I enjoyed that. That was a good lesson. That's okay. But you need to remember that it wasn't me. It was the Lord Jesus. Sometimes... You can get the pat on the back, and if you ain't careful, you can get the pat on the back, and then all of a sudden you're like, you go out and buy you an Armani suit. I've never wore one. They say they fit really good. I don't know, but I think drug dealers wear them. But anyway, no, I won't go there. All right, so we need to remember that we're like little plants in God's garden. Every one of us. Well, Pastor, I don't know. I think I'm pretty... No, we're all growing. Some of us are more spiritual than others. Yes, I'll agree with that. There's some people that have that are more mature Christian and spiritually than others are. But we're all getting there. We're going to the same direction. That's the idea. Some people get it faster than others. Amen. Some of us are slow. You know, it's just kind of like some of my corn. It just didn't turn out. Sometimes some of our ears ain't, and they should have been. But anyway, so we need to make sure that we are doing that now, that we are growing in the Word. Let's go to Ephesians chapter 4 real quick. Ephesians chapter 4. So, 1 Corinthians, he told them, he said, listen, chapter 3, 1 through 5, he said, look, you were under the preaching of Paul, you were under the preaching of Apollos, but God gave the increase. And then we go over here to Ephesians 4, and I'm not going to read all of, well, yeah, why not? Ephesians 4, verse 1. I therefore, the prisoner of the Lord, beseech you that ye walk worthy of the vocation wherewith ye are called, with all lowliness and meekness, with longsuffering, forbearing one another in love, endeavoring to keep the unity of the peace, of the Spirit, in the bond of peace. So really, we need to make sure that we're walking worthy. Pastors need to. Teachers need to. We need to make sure that we're walking worthy of that. But I'm going to go ahead and say the members need to make sure they're walking worthy of that. Make sure you're going in the right direction, because guess what the family member will say? You're judging me. And some Christian you are. Because they'll bring it up to you. You mess up. And see if they don't. They will. I messed up. Here a while back, I had to go to Colorado. I was dealing with some ridiculous drama that I didn't ask for. And a certain member of my family, immediate family, that being a sibling, giving me grief over my dad and mom while she's laid up in the hospital sick and dying of COVID, before she didn't die, but she was pretty bad off. giving me grief and on the phone yelling and screaming and brought me to that point and then went, mashed the wrong button. And the first thing that come out of my mind, the first thought I had came out. And I'm like, well, some preacher you are. They'll throw it up your face every time. It doesn't matter that she was throwing gas over there and then threw a match in on top of it. What mattered is she got me to break, and that's what she enjoyed. And so we're all human. We need to be careful. But he says here in Ephesians, he says we need to walk worthy of it. He said, with all lowliness, meekness, that ain't super easy, long suffering, forbearing one another in love, enduring to keep the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace. Now, he is talking to the Corinth church, the church at Corinth. That's our goal, is to love each other, is to stay in peace, stay in unity with each other. You got an attitude, you need to work on it. You got an issue with somebody, you need to work on it. That's so important, because I'm going to tell you what will happen. If you don't work it out, the problem that somebody has caused, whether it's through the pastor, whether it's straight up through them, whether it's just through prayer, if you don't work that out, the devil's going to show up just sure as the world, and he's going to take that and he's going to prod you with it.
I better put that up before it hurt myself.
He's going to prod you with it. That's exactly what he's going to do. And give you problems. And just stir it and make it worse. Because we ain't going and fixing the problem. Because the last thing he wants is unity. He don't want no unity. Unity's a problem. Now, where was that? Verse 4. There is one body and one spirit. Even as ye are called in one hope of your calling, one Lord, one faith, one baptism, one God and Father of all, who is above all and through all and in you all. But unto every one of us is given grace according to the measure of the gift of Christ. Wherefore he saith, when he ascended on high, he led captivity captive and gave gifts unto men. Now that he ascended, what is it but that he also descended first into the lower parts of the earth? That he descended at the same also that ascended up far above all heavens, that he might fill all things. Now, here's where I really want to get to. Why do we come to church? When we get saved, why don't we just get saved and not worry about it? We're going to heaven. Here's your reason. Here's your answer to that question. It ain't to pay the pastor. It ain't to pay the light bill. It's to learn and to grow in the Lord Jesus Christ. Yes, tithes and offerings does all of the above that I mentioned. But that should be coming from your heart anyway. But he says, here's why. And he gave some apostles, some prophets, some evangelists, some pastors and teachers for the perfecting of the saints, for the work of the ministry, for the edifying of the body of Christ. That's why we're here. Because the more mature we get in Christ Jesus, the more we edify the body of Christ. If we're in here arguing amongst each other, that ain't edifying Jesus. That's tearing it down. And you don't want to be a destroyer. Could we discuss some of that? He says, till we all come in the unity of faith and of the knowledge of the Son of God unto a perfect man, unto the measure of the stature, the fullness of Christ. So we're going to keep doing this until all of a sudden the Lord said, come up hither. We're just going to keep doing it. We're going to keep going over and over and over all of these things from front to back and all in between. Because that's what it takes. Because you forget. I forget. We all have that issue. That we henceforth be no more children tossed to and fro and carried about with every wind of doctrine by the sleight of men and cunning craftiness whereby they lie in wait to deceive. If we're not in church learning about the Lord Jesus, we get tossed to and fro with all of these problems. And it's real simple. Hey, I'd like to introduce you to this book. This is the Bible that we're supposed to be reading. Joseph Smith supposedly helped us. But people will fall for it. Why? Because they're not studying the Word of God. I know people that have been in church for years and years and years, and they can't tell you why what makes a church a cult. They have no idea. And if you say, well, the Catholics is the biggest cult, the richest cult in the world. What? No, they're not. They believe in Jesus. Yeah, they worship Mother Guadalupe too. And they count beads. I still want some. But they count rosary beads. They do that. They depend on all the Church of the Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints. They're a cult. Jehovah's Witness, they're a cult. Seventh-day Adventist is a cult. And I could go on and name you a bunch of them. But you'd be surprised at the churches or the Christians that don't realize that. Why? Because they don't come to church. They don't get in the Bible and study. They don't want to do that. And the pastor, well, he's always on me. That's true. We're going to that. That's why I had to bring that up. Go to Hebrews chapter 13. So remember now, I'm just a messenger. Put your guns up. Look at Hebrews 13 and 17. Obey them that have the rule over you and submit yourselves, for they watch for your souls, as they must give account, that they may do it with joy and not with grief, for that is unprofitable not to me. That's unprofitable to you. Now, I'm going to tell you, I was on that side of the pulpit a lot more years than I've been on this side. So you really can't tell me what you don't think, because I know, because I've been there. Because I'm sitting back there one day in a church and I'm like, well, that sorry blankety blank, that's what I thought. I'm like, I'll deal with him. How does he know all that? And what gives him the right to point his finger at me? Which he was just pointing. But as far as I'm concerned, it was going, I've singled a person out. I mean, that's the way I felt. You see, when a servant of God is in the will of God, teaching the Word of God, the people of God should submit and obey. Now, that ain't... Hannah, sit down. That ain't what I'm talking about. Sit down and shut up. No, that ain't what I'm talking about. I'm talking about in the Word of God. And some the first thing they'll say, well, you're judging me. No, I ain't. I'm inspecting the fruit. And we read that this morning. If one of you guys know of one of the people that come to church with you that they're doing some things they shouldn't be doing, you ought to be praying for them, for one, but you ought to be talking to them. Because, listen, it ain't good for them. And it may not be good for them in the future.
And if you see it keep going, you probably ought to come to the pastor and say, look, Brother Jose's down there running whores, and he's been smoking dope, and he's been hanging out down at the bar. And the enemy don't have a clue. But I know because it's always struck. And I was in there the other night. Kent, what were you in there for?
But that's what happens. And listen, if I know that you're messing up, I'm going to say something to you. I'm going to say, look, you ought not to be acting like that or doing that or whatever it may be. I'm going to come to you and say so, because if I don't, then guess who's held accountable for not telling you? Me. And I'm going to go ahead and tell you, I ain't interested in paying none of your bills. When you get up there, I want you to pay your own. So I'm going to let you know. You see, now, like I said, this doesn't mean that a pastor should be a dictator. We shouldn't be dictators. Listen, people, I am a church guy. You know I am. And if you don't by now, I'm sorry. You should. I believe you ought to be in church Sunday morning, Sunday night, Wednesday night, Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday. And maybe Saturday, unless I'm fishing. No, I honestly believe you ought to be in church when the church doors are open. But I do know there's things that go on that you can't be. I get that. Some people go out of town, you got things going on. Some people's ox get in the ditch, but don't push it in the ditch. You're going to pay for it. And I'm going to go ahead and tell you, you push the ox in the ditch, it may die in the ditch. Because I used to push mine in the ditch so I didn't have to go to church on Sunday. It's true. I did that because I didn't want to go, because the Lord was speaking to me about a lot of things, and I'm not wanting to be into that. And it cost me. I've got scars for it. Got problems in my family for it. I'll just be up front with you. I have a daughter married an unsaved guy. Got a son that married an unsaved woman. Now he's with a saved woman, but started out with, why? Because I pushed my ox in the ditch. You're going to pay for your sins. I'm just the messenger. You see, I'm not to lord over people. Be a dictator. You're not to do that. You see, some church members, though, have a real attitude with the pastor. Especially after preaching. Oh, they come up with a bad attitude with the pastor. Disobedience is unprofitable. When I have to... Well, here, let's just do it. I'm going to be up front with you. Honestly, it's easier to go out and tell people about the Lord Jesus and hopefully lead them to the Lord than it is to pastor sheep. It is. It's a whole lot easier because all I got to do is make sure they hear the Word of God and then say, all right, get on board, and I'm going about my business. Evangelists have got it made. I always wanted to be an evangelist. You know, like Randy Shelton. Because they just show up at the church and for a week they just pitch a fit and treat everybody horrible. And then they leave. And they leave the mess with the pastor. And then he's got to fix all the problems. You know, it's a whole lot easier just to tell people and win souls to the Lord and say, y'all be good, pastor, take care of them. But that ain't what the Lord called me for. Go to Ezekiel. We're almost done. Don't panic. Go to Ezekiel. That's over there in the Old Testament. If you find Jeremiah, keep going toward the end. Ezekiel chapter 3. Because if I tell you something, I want you to realize I ain't just mouthing it. I'm not just, it ain't gemology. Ezekiel chapter 3. Verse 16. says, and it came to pass at the end of the 7 days that the word of the Lord came unto me, saying, Son of man, I have made thee a watchman unto the house of Israel. I'll stop. One day the Lord spoke to me and said, Jim Smith, you are the missionary pastor for Wagon Wheel Baptist Church, and laid it on Wagon Wheel's heart to call me to be there. That's what the watchman is. Now, we'll carry on with where I was reading, if I can remember where I was reading. Verse 17. I have made thee a watchman over the house of Israel. Therefore, hear the word at my mouth, and give them warning from me. I study the word of God. I get the warning from the word of God, and I bring it to you. That's exactly what a pastor does. That's what teachers in Sunday school classes do. That's what deacons do when they do devotions. And we're going to have, Brother Jose is going to preach one night when I'm gone over in June. And that's what they do. They're the watchmen. They're watching over the Lord's house. And then it says in verse 18, when I say unto the wicked, thou shalt surely die, and thou givest him not warning, nor speakest to warn the wicked from his wicked ways to save his life, and the same wicked man shall die in his iniquity, his blood will I require at thine hand. If I'm not telling you that you ought to not live this way, if I'm not telling you how to get it right, keep it right, if I'm not telling you that, if I'm not telling you you ought to be in the house of the Lord and as much as possible, and if you're not, there needs to be a really good reason why you're not. If you were doing what I was doing in Mississippi when I got transferred, I was doing it in Colorado too. But when I got transferred to Mississippi, the first thing I did, I made sure my boss at Plains Marketing knew that I wanted to work every Sunday possible. Because the last thing I wanted to do was be in church to hear some stupid preacher tell me what I already knew. That I'm honest. I'm being upfront with you. You can ask her. I did not want to hear it. That was the last thing I wanted to hear. And I had an attitude with them. But if I don't tell you that, then I'm held accountable. Your blood, when it all falls apart, your blood is on my hands. It's all right here. And I don't know what all that means. But I ain't interested in finding out. I do know that when the Lord tells me to preach something, I learned the hard way. I go ahead and preach it. Because there was one night, I was in a church, about 350 people in there, and I knew this certain person was there, and when I'm studying for the message, the Lord laid this stuff on my heart, and I'm like, oh, but if they're there, they're not going to see the humor in that. There ain't going to be a harmonious outcome, Lord. That night, I was, that coming Sunday, I was preaching. There they sat, two rows back, and I got to that point in my message, and I went totally around it. Just jumped right over it, just like a log. And for about 3 weeks, the Lord kicked me in the hind end, hit me in the chest, busted my nose. I was just like, oh, I was dead. I've never had that kind of weight on me. And I said, Lord, let's work a deal out here. Give me some relief and I'll preach what you tell me. I will not balk at that no more. And I made sure. And sometimes I say some things and my wife will look at me and she's like, guess what? The Lord laid it on my heart. I'm going to say it. Because I ain't doing that. I'm not going to do that again. But where was that? Verse 18. When I say unto the wicked, thou shalt surely die, and thou givest him not warning. then his blood's at your hands. Now, verse 19. Yet if thou warn the wicked, and he turn from his wickedness, nor from his wicked way, and it don't necessarily have to be the wickedness of the wicked. It may, you know what I'm saying? There's a lot of people that don't see the point in Sunday school. But that's what, when they join the church, they agreed to what the... There's a lot of people don't see the point in Sunday night and Wednesday night. But guess what? Wagon Wheel has Sunday school Sunday night, Wednesday night. And in November 22, we're going to have Randy Sheldon for a week here. I went to every one of them except Wednesday night down there. That's not a requirement of me. I'm not a member of Long Mountain, but I enjoyed it and I got a lot of blessings from going to that. But they need Long Mountain. There was a few people that I didn't see showing up, and I'm like, wow, man, it's embarrassing for the church. Oh, but pastor, go to bed at 6. Well, bless your heart. Spend the dadblame week staying up late. You might get to know somebody. It ain't going to hurt you. Drink some coffee. I mean, we'll go out fishing. We'll go to the races. We'll go to ball games. I used to go to rodeos. Stay out to midnight and get up at 5 a.m. and head to Kansas and shoe horses all day. But now, come church night, it was like, honey, I'm really tired. I got a lot of scars to prove it. Oh, where was that? All right, I forgot where it was at. 19, yet if thou warn the wicked, and he turn not from his wicked ways, but shall die in his iniquity. In other words, you live with it. Now you got... But thou hast delivered thy soul. Again. Yeah. When a righteous man doth turn from his righteousness and commit iniquity, and I lay a stumbling block before him, he shall die because thou shalt not be, because thou hast not given him warning. He shall die in his sin, and his righteousness which he had done shall not be remembered, but his blood I will require at thine hand. Nevertheless, if thou warn the righteous man that the righteous sin not, and he doth not sin, he shall surely live because he is warned. Also, thou hast delivered thy soul. In other words, the Lord says, if I tell you what you ought to be doing according to the Word of God, but you don't do it, it's on your hands now. If I don't tell you, it's on my hands. I don't want it on my hands. That's why I preach it. Sometimes I've had people tell me, well, you sure do preach hard. Listen, I just preach what the Lord laid on my heart. I'm going to be up front with you. You can't replace church with home study. It don't work. People think it does, but it don't. That's what the devil will lay on your heart. Well, you're doing okay here at the house. Just keep studying. You can't replace it. You might think you're doing okay, but you're not. You push your ox in the ditch, you're sure enough going to get your ox in the ditch. It's going to happen. Now, all right, I got to carry on. These large churches, and we're almost done, don't panic. These large churches, it's different. I always had a problem with these churches that are 1,000. 2,000 and 3,000. How does the pastor do what the Bible said, dude? He's to know his members. He's to feed the flock. How does he do all of that?
Oh, and they got 15 pastors working under it. You lose something there. I don't really think it was supposed to be that way.
I think that's why the church at Jerusalem got dispersed, one reason. Because it got too big. And they didn't know people. It's hard to keep, listen, it's hard to keep up with 50 or 60. Now, I think there's a, when you get too huge, I think there becomes a problem with the love that a pastor has for each of the members. You need to remember something. If I made you mad, or if I do make you mad in the future, I'm not doing it on purpose. I'm doing what the Lord said to do. Because if I don't, I got to pay for it. But I'm also doing it out of love because, listen, I've had people come to me over the years. Well, Pastor, I just don't know what I need special prayer. So my kid is just blah, 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 blah. And I'm like, because I saw it coming. Because they got to the point, they just hit and miss. They got to the point they show up for church but no Sunday school. They got to the point that I'll be up front with you. I don't know who tithes and how much who gives. You can ask Tony. I don't know. And I choose not to know. That ain't my business. That's between you and God. But the Lord does lay it on my heart. And Tony will say, I'll say, Tony, how's things going? Well, you know, it's kind of slack here lately. I don't know who it is, but the Lord knows. And He'll bring me that message. And then I start realizing, hey, this person ain't been doing what they should be doing anyway. Man, they got problems coming. And never fails. They'll call up, well, this issue's happening. I don't know what to do. And it's like, oh, I could have told you. I did in the sermon. And it's sad because everything I do as a pastor, I do out of love. And the pastors that I've been under all these years that I wasn't pastoring, they did it out of love. I had a pastor, and I won't mention names. We should have been at the commitment meeting of the BBS, but I wasn't. I chose to go to a steakhouse. I told her, we don't need to go to that. That didn't take care of it. I went. When I walked out of the steakhouse, guess who was in the parking lot? I was his song leader. I was his youth Sunday school teacher, me and her. And we had worked in VBS all week. He was in the parking lot. You know how mad I got? I'm thinking, you moron. Of course, I didn't say that. But I've got a bad attitude. But he said, I just wanted to see where my Sunday school teacher was. And then he left. And things didn't get a whole lot better after that because I let that eat at me. But I know now why he did it. Because I should have been there. Because it wasn't long after that, things started going downhill for me and my family. And I just kept traveling downhill and downhill and downhill. Got hung up on drugs. Got in a lot of trouble. That close, I don't know how many times, to her saying I'm done. All because he was trying to do his job, and by the way, like I said, cover his hind end, so it ain't on his hands. All because of my stupidity, because I didn't want to listen. He was doing it out of love. Of course, I know that now. And he knows I don't have a problem with it. We're good friends. And There was a lot of times he preached to me and I'm like, Sandy's been talking to him. And she may have, I don't know. She never told me she did. But if she did, the Holy Spirit did. And that's 9 out of 10 times. That's what takes place. It's all out of love. You see, when a shepherd is faithful to watch for souls, it's important that the sheep, and I hate to use that word, but it is, obey what the pastor is bringing from the Word of God. That's honestly. Because the Lord lays things on my heart, and I pray for people. I say, Lord, be merciful with them, because I was up the other morning at 3:30 in the morning, sitting out back praying for people. I don't even know why. The Lord just woke me up and laid it on my heart to pray for them. And I'm like, well, and I prayed for them. We'll see what takes place. That's between the Lord and them. But I was doing what I was supposed to be doing. It's all out of love that when I preach the Word of God, sometimes it's pretty harsh. It really is. Sometimes I get home and I'm like, oh, man. Sometimes I don't even want to preach the message. But that's what the Lord lays on my heart. So, let me go back over real quick and we're done. When we're building this temple of God, all of us together, this, chapter 3 of 1 Corinthians, that's what it's talking about, this temple. We all need to be in unity with each other. We all need to be loving with each other. And I brought this up the other day, and it's sticking with me. We need to pray for each other's spiritual lives, that we will grow in the Lord. And trust me, since we've been doing that, you having any issues? Of course you are. Because the devil don't want you to do that. So he's going to bring up problems in our lives that we're like, where'd that come from? I'll tell you. He started out by the name of Lucifer. He don't want you getting it together with the Lord. Because for one, you got family and you got friends that just might come to know the Lord because of what we're doing. And that's the last thing he wants. Let's stand.